My beloved people, this morning I'm going to ask you to pray for someone you don't know. For that matter, for someone that I don't know. But for that matter, it is a priest who was killed during this past week, mangled, murdered, and torn apart. And I dare say he died for his faith. I can simply put it that way, and that's the way I will leave it. And I ask you in the same way to leave it just that way. Just this is a man of God who died for his faith. May we pray for his soul. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us
sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May he rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Easter information is already in the bulletin, and I draw your attention to it. In the vestibule of the church, there are a few little wooden altars. That's what they are. They're not doorstops. But a few little altars that someone in Montgomery has generously put together for us. As you recall, some time ago, we spoke in terms of little home altars. Be free to pick one of these up if you wish and bring them home, especially if you have children, and use this as an instructional instrument for them as well as for yourselves. So don't hesitate to take one. The gentleman made several and will make more if we want more. Other than that, I think that's all that needs to be pointed out. Of course, we have Stations of the Cross on Friday evenings during Lent. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. We are progressing very well into the period called Lent. It is not necessarily a period of time that is set aside for the preparation of Easter, though it can be used successfully in that regard, very much like the season of Advent before Christmas. But the season of Lent is more than just a time to get ready for Easter. The season of Lent is a time that is set apart in the springtime. Just as the vine dresser goes out in the spring and cuts off all the dead wood from the vines and the bushes and the trees and things, so must we do exactly the same thing. That we go about our lives in the springtime and cut off all the dead wood that has died in us over the past year. Now, a cutting off of these things hurts, but we must be willing to suffer this because we must have prior knowledge, being intellectual beings. We must have prior knowledge that we understand that the cutting off of the dead wood will promote fresh, new, and vigorous growth in us spiritually. We must understand this. We must comprehend this. And we must go a step further in that we, in our intellectual activity in our heads, must come to the realization, asking the question, of course, why are we doing this outside of promoting new growth? Is it because we simply want new growth? Or is it something that is a bit deeper? The trouble with us, I think, today in this so-called modern world is that we have actually forgotten the dimensions of love. We do not really comprehend what love means. We do not understand what love means toward each other. We do not understand, therefore, since we cannot understand the love toward each other, how in the name of common sense can we understand what is meant by the love toward God? The love that is required by God Himself. During Lent, it is possible for us to speak of love of God. It is also possible for us to speak of love toward each other, a greater degree of love toward each other. But what is this kind, what kind of love do we speak toward each other? Is it a good love? Or is it pure and simply a bad kind of love? What are the dimensions of love in our hearts? What is our attitude toward those that are near us, those that are dear to us? Or is our attitude of such a nature that we will love, yes, we will love, provided that the one who is nearest us will bend in our direction? How willing are we to bend in anybody's direction? Or do we force our way through life and impose ourselves and intrude, actually, on the sensitivities of those around us and about us, that we make other people do the things that we want done? Not only that, but we make other people do things in the way that we insist things have to be done. This is a bad kind of love. It is wrong. We think in Lent, just because we give up eating apple pie because we happen to like apple pie, that we think that we are doing something, that we think we are being truly Catholic because during Lent we don't eat apple pie. Apple pie, giving up apple pie during Lent, my beloved people, will neither help you nor hinder you when it comes to face your Almighty God in judgment, if when you approach Him with no apple pie in your hands, but your hands dripping with the blood of the sensitivities of those that you have been around all your lives, until you and I, until we can correct this, may I suggest that you forget all about apple pie. It means nothing. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what part of nothing do we not understand? Or do we prefer to sit prim and precise and self-righteous in our stubbornness toward those around us? And all day long, we find that they have to tippy-toe around us just to keep from waking us up and causing another storm inside the household. This is where the activity is, my beloved people. It's not in giving up apple pie. Children do that, and we must train children to give up the apple pie in order to strengthen their will to do good. But this giving up of apple pies for the children should be a preparation for later life when we come to face to face with the real problems of life that need the exercise of a real will, a strong will that will cause us to be at least partially acceptable to those around us. And sometimes those around us, because they love us, are trapped by our lack of consideration for them. This is serious. And this is what Lent is more or less about. That when we approach the altar at Easter, we can get back and say, oh, look, the apple pie that I gave up took off 2 or 3 inches from my waistline. Isn't that wonderful? We have succeeded in that. That's vanity. But rather, when we approach the altar at Easter time, that we can say to ourselves in joyful exhilaration, there is peace in my house, and I have contributed toward that peace. A bad love is like bad obedience in a monastery. Bad obedience in a monastery is this: I will obey what you tell me to do, but I don't approve of it. That is bad obedience, and it merits no reward. But rather, love works in the same way. I will do what love requires of me in order to keep peace in this house, but I don't approve of it. That is bad love. That will end up with nothing. And every time you or we come to such an agreement, it is merely an agreement, it is merely a truce. It isn't a peace. And we get nothing for it. We must think in terms of what our blessed Lord did as we are approaching not so much Easter Sunday at the moment, but as we are approaching Good Friday, who gave up his everything, his all, in order that you and I might be given the privilege of heaven. It is no small thing for one to be good. And we have to be good because of the love of God. We speak of patience, we speak of impatience, we speak of kindness, we speak of unkindness. We speak of peace, we speak of war. But the only time that there will be patience, or peace, or kindness, or understanding, or compassion, or acceptance or humility or obedience. The only time these virtues will be in evidence is when we put Christ at the center of our lives. As we have said in here before, when we are in church and we are in the light, the light of the sanctuary lamp glows all around and about us. That's one thing. And we say, yes, yes, we will do this and we must do that. But the minute we walk across the threshold, leaving the church and get on the church steps, that's when the resolution counts. What kind of man, what kind of woman are we on the church steps or on the sidewalk or in the automobile when we're driving home? This is what matters. We cannot go through life forcing ourselves on other people's sensitivities. We must be obedient to them in the same way that we expect them to be obedient to us. We must love them in the same way that we expect them to love us. We must be kind to them in the same way that we expect them to be kind to us, and so on, and so on, and so on. This is what Lent is all about. When we find ourselves insisting, and we can conjure up some awfully good arguments for giving preferential treatment to our desires. Such people are always ready. They seem to have a computerized collection of arguments. They are well-based, they are logical, etc., etc., and etc., but they're missing one particular ingredient, and that is the ingredient of love. Love is something that goes about life forgiving and forgetting. My beloved people,